Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Last time we began a brand new book of the Bible, we began in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, and we made it through verse 17. So open your Bible today if you can, as I am doing right now. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse number 18. I do want to remind you, as always, that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. So very important that you know about this website if you love the Word of God, because you can study the Word of God there as much as you want. Gorge yourself, literally, on the Word of God. Feed yourself till you can't take it anymore, but that'll never happen, because the more you're in the Word of God, the more you crave it and the more you love it, and you can satisfy, or at least attempt to satisfy, your love for God's Word at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, because that's all that's there, is the Word of Almighty God. You can study it using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John chapter 1, beginning in, verse 18. Yeah, let's begin there. The Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him." When it says that no one has seen God at any time, what it is talking about is the fact that no human being has ever seen God in all of his holy majesty. If anyone would, in their present body, in their present physical body, they would die right on the spot. Couldn't take it. But then came Jesus. Jesus Christ has made the invisible, eternal God known to man. We can gaze upon God, God who is clothed with human flesh. Jesus is the perfect, the absolute perfect, nothing lacking revelation of God. If you want to know what God is like, then study the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will know. Verse 19, "And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" John the Baptist, we go back to him. We were introduced to him last time. He said that he came to be a witness. He came to earth, sent by the Father, called by the Father, to be a witness to the Son, to tell everybody who Jesus is and what he will do and what we need to do about it as sinners. And so with that in mind, again, it says in verse 19, "And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" See, they were puzzled by John the Baptist. The religious establishment didn't know what to make of the guy, because he was not a part of their denomination, if you will. He had not gone to their Bible colleges, as it were. He had not been sanctioned or licensed by them. He just was called by God and filled with the Spirit of God and spoke the pure Word of God. And that's the important thing, friends. That's really the important thing. And John the Baptist, he was creating a lot of excitement. The Word of God usually does, one way or another. But he was creating a lot of excitement. The people loved him, at this point anyway. The common people loved him. They were going out to him in droves. Meanwhile, the religious rulers couldn't stand him. And you know why they couldn't stand John the Baptist? Because they couldn't control him. Because John the Baptist served God, not them. They couldn't control John. They couldn't threaten John. They couldn't manipulate John, and they didn't like that. Religion so often wants to control, unless it's gone liberal and lukewarm, then all it wants to do is entertain to keep the money coming in and the people coming back. But they couldn't control John. They didn't like that one single bit. He preached the pure word of God. He preached repentance. He even preached that the religious rulers needed to repent. Verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. A lot of people thought that John was the Messiah. A lot of people thought that he was Christ, because people generally knew that Jesus, or that the Messiah, who of course is Jesus, was about to come on the scene. They could tell by the prophecy from Daniel in the Old Testament that that was right around the corner. So then you got a guy like John, who goes rogue as far as the religious leaders are concerned, and preaches the pure word of God, something that had not been done for centuries. People started, this guy's different from everybody else. So many people thought that John was the Messiah. And again, they thought that because Daniel the prophet foretold that it was the time for Messiah to arrive on the scene. But John told the rulers, I'm not him. Verse 21. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Well, if you're not the Messiah, they asked, well, then maybe you're Elijah, returned from heaven. You know, he never died. John said, no, I'm not. Well, then maybe you're the great prophet that we are expecting to come before the kingdom of God is set up. No, I'm not him either. Well, verse 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Well, he didn't talk much about himself, but they asked him, what sayest thou of thyself? Because they have to report back to their superiors, so they want an answer. Who are you? What is your business? Okay, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John says he's nothing but a voice. He's just there to tell people to repent of their sins so that they're prepared to receive Christ when he shows up. How very important that is. How important it was and is today. And how seldom it is ever talked about. No one can receive Christ. No one can be saved unless they also turn away from their sins. And that's a biblical fact taught from Genesis through Revelation. Repentance always precedes receiving Christ and salvation. John the Baptist came to preach repentance, to prepare people for Christ so that they could receive him when he showed up. If your church doesn't preach repentance, you're going to the wrong church and you should not support it. If no one ever gets saved at your church, you're going to the wrong church and you shouldn't support it. If your pastor or teacher doesn't preach the pure word of God, then you're going to the wrong church and you shouldn't support it. I just talked to a woman the other day. She had been going to this church, and she loves God. She loves God. She loves the word of God. She's got a lot of children who are somewhat involved. And husband likes that church. She told me the other day they had an interim pastor, an older fella, who preached a message on repentance, on sin, on hell, and on the need to repent and to receive Christ. And she confided in me. She said, I've been going to that church for 10 years. That is the first time that I ever heard anyone mention hell, preach against hell, preach repentance, and preach salvation. And this is a so-called Bible-believing, so-called Spirit-filled church. What a joke. No wonder no one ever gets saved in those places. John came preaching repentance because that was the first step towards salvation, and it still is today. And John's message of repentance and pointing out sin and making people feel guilty so that they would repent was a strange message. They weren't used to hearing that, but not any more strange than what it is in many modern churches today. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Many of you do. That's why you don't even go to church anymore. You can't find a church that preaches the pure word of God. You stay home and you watch me. Many of you stay home and listen to me. And I'm not going to fault you for that. Because at least you're getting the word of God. 24. And they who were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? Well, since the Pharisees had not given John the okay to minister, they want to know why he's baptizing. See, the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, the establishment, thought that they ran the world for God. They were so very arrogant. But it's not the job of some religious hierarchy to tell other Christians what God has called them to do and where they are called to do it. That's none of their business. No religious hierarchy, no pope, no bishop, no anyone has the right to tell you what God has called you to do or where to do it. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, as seen in John the Baptist. Oh, and I know it ruffles the religious feathers. Of course it does. They want to control many times, just like the religious leaders. But there's nothing more sickening than when an arrogant religious leader tries to do the work of the Holy Spirit and tell other people God's will for them. Ruin lives. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can't lead someone else. You're not even led by God yourself if you're doing that. How are you possibly capable of leading another Christian and telling them what God's will is for them? Thank you very much. The Spirit of God will guide people into all truth. That's what Jesus said. Verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. Let's stop right there for a second. John is saying, yeah, you're right. I baptize with water. You think that's a big deal. It's not a big deal. Not compared to what's coming. So notice verse 26 again. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to loose. You know, the lowest of household slaves had the job of greeting guests at the door and making them comfortable, including removing their sandals and washing their hot, dirty, dusty feet. That was the job of the lowest of all household slaves. John says, you ask me who I am? Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you that I am lower than nothing. That's who I am. I'm lower than nothing. I'm not even worthy to be the lowest slave to the Christ who is about to appear. Was he intimidated by the religious leaders And those they sent, not in your life he was. Not for a second was he. Why? Because he served Almighty God. He only cared about what God wanted him to do, and that's what he was doing. And if they didn't fall in line and they didn't acknowledge that that was what God wanted him to do, that was their problem. Don't worry about pleasing people. Don't worry about pleasing anyone. You worry about pleasing God first and foremost, and those who will be pleased will be pleased, and those who will not will not. You can't help that. See, this is why I love John so much. This is why he's one of my spiritual heroes, the big one, except for Jesus, of course. Because this was his attitude. He was so God-focused. So God-focused. So Christ-focused. Yeah, I repent. That's nothing. I'm just a servant. A lowly servant. 28. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And there you go. Jesus, he sees Jesus, he points him out. Behold the Lamb of God. I see him. This is him. This is the one that I came to prepare you to receive by preaching repentance. Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is God's Lamb. He is God's sacrificial Lamb. Everybody knew what he was talking about. He is God's sacrificial Lamb. He is God's offering given as a gift to take away the sins of people. So let that sink in if you can. God became a man. And he became the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be saved so bad that he put himself on the altar as the sacrificial Lamb to pay for our sins. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves sinners. Nobody else may like you. Nobody else may love you. You may have done horrible things and you don't deserve to be liked by anyone. Okay? Let's just say that's true. Almighty God still put himself on the altar, on the cross, at Calvary, to be the sacrificial Lamb to pay for your sins. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants you. God Almighty put himself on the altar, allowed men to kill him, and by that paid the penalty for our sins. Now all you have to do is do what John said, repent, and then receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing in water. You know, John baptized people, he baptized in general, as a sign of repentance, as a sign that they were repenting. But God also told John that somehow he would use his ministry of baptism to introduce the Messiah. Number one, he would recognize the Messiah while he was baptizing, and then he could introduce the Messiah to the world, point him out. But God gave him a specific sign. John, I'm calling you to baptize. You're baptizing people to repentance. You keep doing that, but somebody's going to come along. The Messiah is going to come along. You're going to recognize him, and here's how. Verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize, who would that be? God the Father. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. God said, God the Father. He said, John, You know, your job is to baptize people for repentance. Your job is also to point the Messiah, the Christ, out to the people that you are baptizing. That's your job too. You got to know who he is to be able to do that. So John, you're going to baptize a man. And when you do, you're going to see a dove land on him after he is baptized. That man is my son. That man is the Messiah. And I just got to believe that before John baptized any man, he had to think, could this be the one? Got to watch. Could this be the one? Will a dove land on this one after I baptize him? But the only one a dove ever landed on was Jesus. And then John knew Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Verse 34, and I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. As soon as that dove landed on Christ, immediately, John didn't waste any time because he believed the Word of God. He always acted on the Word of God. He never questioned the Word of God. He never doubted the Word of God. He never hesitated to obey the Word of God. So as soon as that dove landed on Christ, immediately John started to point people to Jesus. And John's ministry went into high gear when he knew the Messiah, when he knew who the Messiah was. And he could point people specifically to him. He put his ministry into overdrive when that happened. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples. So notice that the disciples here at this point were disciples of John. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a learner. So oftentimes people who were hungry for truth and wanted to be holy and wanted to be godly would find a particular Bible teacher or a prophet or whatever in Old Testament days that they knew was from God, and they would start living with them. They would follow them wherever they would go. They would listen to them teach. They would also observe how they lived. That was a disciple. A disciple is a learner. So John the Baptist, being a godly man, who spoke the pure word of God, obedient to God in every way, so unselfish, so unworldly, so holy, had some disciples. And these two disciples are with John right here. They're disciples of John. Fine, but not for long. Notice verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. So notice that John directs the attention of his followers, his disciples, to Jesus. He's the one. He's the issue, not me. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at Jesus. He's the one that you need to follow. So John directs the attention of his followers to Jesus. Any preacher, any teacher, any minister, any pastor whose goal is to make people think that he is witty, that he is smart, that he is cute or funny, that he is entertaining, ought to get out of the pulpit and go join the circus. Start biting the heads off of chickens. You'd be better off doing that than standing in the pulpit and pointing people to yourself or trying to get attention for yourself by your wit or your cuteness or your entertainment or your jokes or whatever it is you do. You ought to get out of the pulpit and go to Hollywood and just show yourself to be the contemptible person that you are instead of trying to come across as a servant of Christ. And all the while drawing attention to yourself, or trying to make money for yourself, or make a name for yourself, or anything for self. None of us who preach or teach the Bible are anything. We're to point people to Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto you. You need to think about Jesus. You need to pray to Jesus. You need to praise Jesus. You need to worship Jesus. You need to read the Bible to get to know Jesus better. That's your life as a Christian. That's what you're called to do. And he points his disciples to Jesus. 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's exactly what John wanted them to do. He wasn't upset about losing a couple of disciples because his business was to point people to Jesus Christ. As soon as these two men knew who Jesus was, they followed him. John taught them well. See? John taught them well. He always talked about the Messiah. He always said that he wanted nothing. He always said when he comes on the scene, you got to follow him. He came on the scene. He said, now you follow him. And they were right there because they were used to hearing the word of God from John. They were used to obeying the word of God because John spoke it with authority. So when Jesus came on the scene and John pointed these guys to Jesus, they just naturally followed the word of God and followed Jesus. People who hunger for truth will recognize it and seek to apply it when they find it. You don't have to force feed spiritual truth to Christians who hunger for it. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? So Jesus saw these two disciples of John, former disciples of John, following him. They said, what seek ye? Well, and their answer is kind of strange to our ears, maybe. Where are you staying, they asked. Where are you staying? See, that goes back to what I said a little bit earlier about what a disciple was in those days. If you wanted to be a disciple of a Bible teacher or a prophet back in those days, then you had to stay with him all the time. It wasn't just meet with me for a half hour once a day, which would be a lot today. But it wasn't just meet with me for a half an hour, let me teach you for a half an hour or an hour, or come and see me on Sunday morning for an hour. It wasn't just that. If you wanted to be a disciple of a Bible teacher or a prophet back in those days, then you had to stay with him all the time. I mean, you even had to live with him. So when they asked Jesus, where are you staying? In essence, they were saying, we want to be your disciple. Verse 39, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So these two men were as imperfect as the rest of us, believe me, because we're all in the same boat. But Jesus knew they were sincere because Jesus knows the hearts of all people. And so he invited them to join him. Jesus never turns anyone down. No matter how bad they are, he never turns anyone down. The important thing to Jesus is, do you want to follow him starting now? Don't worry about what you were like 5 minutes ago. Who cares? What difference does it make? This is a new minute, a new second. Jesus is only interested in one thing. Do you want to follow me now? Do you want to belong to me now? Do you want me to be your Lord and Savior right now? Because if you do, I welcome you. Always remember that, folks. Out of time. Continue studying the Word of God at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the Word of God using my audio Bible messages from Genesis through Revelation. I suggest you begin in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, and go all the way through all 66 books of the Bible. But you can study it any way you want to. You can study, like I said, any book of the Bible. Just click the book, click the chapter, open your Bible, and listen. That's all you need to bring is your Bible. Everything else is there. Study at your pace, at your convenience, at thebibleversebyverse.com. And please remember, this is a faith ministry, and it has been for over 30 years, which means that I'm not underwritten by any large church or denomination or anything. I get out the Word of God, and I trust that God will raise up people who love His Word, who believe in the importance of getting it out, to pray for me and to help me to teach God's Word, to stand with me through prayer and financial support. So while you're studying the Word of God at thebibleversebyverse.com, when you take a break, Click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Until next time, so long, everyone.